Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. And today's a big one, guys. 3 years we've been podcasting here on the Stark Wars Network. So every year we like to do a little award show to talk about the year of 2023 and also look forward to things coming in 2024. And I'm here with the guy who's been putting up with my BS for the last 3 years. It's Tommy Pizzullo. Tommy, how's it going?
Good. I'm excited to be here. Third year. I believe this is the leather anniversary. So we'll have some leather wallets at outside the theater after people exit the awards. So you'll get some embroidered, maybe like a Stark Wars embroidered leather wallet.
See, this is the difference between you and I. Why did I jump to like leather chaps? Okay. Yeah, that works too. Wallets. Maybe a belt.
you could either have the wallet section or you can have go over to Michael's table with the leather chaps.
Yeah. Tommy, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus, not due to us by any means. It seems we've had a big break in a lot of the things we covered. So it's been a minute since I've talked to you. How have you been?
I've been good. You listen, it's been a busy year for me personally, and then also in Marvel and Star Wars, it's just been content after content. So getting the break, I was able to watch other shows for once and catch up on that. Had a nice Christmas, but I'm revving to go. I'm excited to give these shows, these movies their due. You know, we still have some angry people from last year. I know Megan Thee Stallion's still pretty upset about not getting Cameo of the Year last year.
That's right, there's only one Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, she's back in the audience. Yeah. Not nominated this year, I don't believe, but good sport showing up.
Yeah, we had a pair of big bucks. You know, she's like, there's only one of me. I'll come.
Yeah. Tommy, how did you feel about the year in Marvel and Star Wars? Like, you know, for me, I'll start with my takes. You know, I just finished making, because at the end of every year, I like to do my top 10 movies, my top 10 TV shows. I got to say, none of the movies for Marvel made it on my top 10. But there, some of the Star Wars shows made it to my top 10 TV shows. So, you know, I really enjoyed Visions. I really liked Ahsoka. You know, there's some other stuff. Loki was pretty good. I like Secret Invasion more than most. But how did you feel about this year?
This year, if last year was like the wacky year, right? Like I think of last year as like it was throwing everything against the wall. You got tons of specials. We got I'm talking about last year, but you know, but this year feels like it was like the year of like we got to the end of our bag of goodies, and we're left with a lot of like Tootsie Rolls, and they're fine. It was fine, but there wasn't like any of the outstanding candy left. And I feel like, especially with Marvel, I think I'm focusing on is like Marvel's now they've reached everything's out of the hat. They gotta come up with some new ideas. Star Wars, on the other hand, I think is up. They had that moment. I feel like a couple years ago, they had that moment of like, what are we doing here? They regrouped, and I'm really excited about a lot of the Star Wars properties. They're coming up with new, you know, I have a hot take about one of the properties, and they're coming up with new stuff that's not just Skywalker related. And I think if anything, this year made me very high on Star Wars.
I love to hear that, Tommy, because, you know, I think initially when we came into this, you were always the bigger Marvel guy, and I was always a bigger Star Wars guy. And I've had my ups and downs with Marvel. But again, I think this was a great year for Star Wars, and we didn't even have any Star Wars movies, which is, I don't think we're getting one next year either. Maybe 2025. Who knows? I have no idea what's going on that front, but the TV shows are killing it. They're doing a lot of fun and inventive stuff. I think Visions is great. Tales of the Jedi, I know we didn't have that this year, but we did last year, and then we're having another one coming up. They're just doing a lot of fun stuff, and yeah.
In a variety, there was a kid, we didn't cover it, but there was a kid show as well. The so, you know, Star Wars, keep doing you. You get the thumbs up from us. Marvel, we're not angry. We're just a little disappointed.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that as we go through. I've got some takes on that front as well, and maybe hinting at some predictions coming down the road. Tommy, do you want to dive into our first award?
Yeah, I think, you know, I do want to, first off, say at the top this time, there will be spoilers for everything.
So oh, yeah.
If you have not watched a lot of these episodes, you probably turn this one off, come back to it later. And I do want to give a little like honorable mentions to some of the other things we covered. We covered Last of Us this year. We covered D&D movie, along with a plethora of other things. You know, they were invited to the audience, but unfortunately, this is a Star Wars and Marvel awards ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, which is a shame because Last of Us was, you know, probably my favorite thing we covered.
Yeah, probably would get a ton of awards.
Real quick, let me just recap for the audience. These are the things we're going to be spoiling. Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Across the Spider-Verse, The Marvels, The Mandalorian, Star Wars Visions, Secret Invasion, Ahsoka, Loki, and Bad Batch. So if you're not caught up on that stuff, it's coming your way.
Well, at least one of those shows we're not caught up on.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to go to this one first. I think this will be a fun one to start with. Cameo of the Year. Now, I've got some really good nominees. I could see any of the people on my list making it. Maybe we could go back and forth with our nominees. Do you want to throw one out first?
Yeah, this was a tough year. I made a pretty large list, and even that, I think I'm missing people. I'll throw out a heavy hitter who I actually thought they were in a Marvel. I thought they were in Ant-Man, and it threw me off for a second. But I remember a time when Lizzo and Jack Black were in The Mandalorian.
I mean, that was our Megan of the Stallion of the year, right?
Yeah, I feel like there was no talk about it. It came out of nowhere. It was on a TV show. It wasn't like, what are we doing here? But I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was that's definitely it's the first thing on my list, actually. And this is we'll come back to it. I'll throw out another one. This was like, you know, less actor, more character. I will say, I don't know if this one, I think it's similar in the vein to last year's winner, which was Mr. Fantastic from Multiverse of Madness. I think this one's similar in that, you know, it was a character we expected to see eventually. And that was Beast at the end of the Marvels. I will say, for me, I don't know if it landed as hard just because it felt like inevitable. It was a matter of time before the X-Men started coming in. So I don't know if it hit the same as the Mr. Fantastic, but it feels the same.
Yeah, I think it's something we didn't expect. If you know, and especially I think specifically Hank, like I don't think I would have called him as the first one to show up. It did surprise me, but I agree with you with the cameo of like, it wasn't like, you know, seeing John Krasinski, something people have wanted for eons, and him coming back. I don't think anyone's been like, where's Kelsey Grammer? We need Hank. We need him back.
Also, just I'll throw it to you again in just a second. I want to tack on, you know, I think Jack Black and Lizzo are a great pair. We could pair them together for this. If there was a trio, though, Christopher Lloyd was in that episode too. Like,
oh, really? Yeah.
I just had to throw that out there. But
what a wild time!
I'll throw it to you. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I have one more contender, or I have a couple more, but I'll throw them out as honorable mentions, maybe. Donald Glover as Prowler in Across the Spider-Verse. I think this is another one that's kind of feels like Hank, where it's like we've seen him a couple times now as the Prowler, but I didn't expect him to show up in this movie. And the way he showed up, I thought he had a good comedy bit. It was clearly a cheeky reference, and I appreciated him in the movie.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I actually didn't consider it. I guess there were a lot of cameos in that movie, and that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but that was probably the biggest one. So yeah, seeing the suit and everything. Yeah, great choice. I'll throw one out there that I think is a big contender, one that would rival Jack Black and Lizzo, in my opinion, was seeing Ahmaud Best back in the role of his character from that Star Wars game show, coming into live action and saving Grogu. I thought that, you know, that I think when we're talking about like just the shock level of things, like it's something I did not see coming at all. It's something that got me off the couch. You know, typically like in a movie theater, like there have been moments in movie theaters where I like have to stand up, you know, and that's like, you know, Captain America grabbing Mjolnir type moment. This felt like that, but in the comfort of my own home a little bit. So how do you feel about the Ahmaud Best cameo?
No, I honestly agree with you. I mean, I think for us too, Jar Jar has just been so much of our life. For, you know, I called Jar Jar would come back many years ago, got it in a different form. But this is one that I don't think it wouldn't even have been on your bingo sheet. Some of these, like Hank, maybe you throw out. This was a moment. And it means so much more on the depth of just the actor in general and just how much, you know, you can listen to our podcast and get all about it. What he went through, getting him to come back from a TV show, Loved it. I thought it was a great cameo.
And I think this is the kind of thing with these characters. There's like the silly fun cameos, and then there's like this kind of changes the universe a little bit. We're gonna see this character again, and where there's gonna be more to him and Grogu's story, which is something I'm excited about. The only one I have, I don't think it rivals any, at least our top two, Zeb showing up in The Mandalorian. You know, I guess there were a lot of like, I don't know if you'd call them cameos in Ahsoka because they were like main characters, but Zeb was one that you just didn't expect to see show up, and he did.
Yeah, I have Zeb on my list as well. As like, it was cool. I think I wanted to see it be a little bit more, especially with the rest of the Rebels coming eventually. Captain Rex, also in Ahsoka, was a nice little cameo. Anakin, you know, we've seen a little bit, but like the Anakin Force Ghost, it was nice to see Hayden Christensen again get to play, and not just in a suit this time, but actually get to see his face.
Okay, so I think that we can agree that the top two are going to be Jack Black and Lizzo or Ahmaud Best. And again, it's funny versus like amazing, in my opinion. I'm going to throw it out there. I think we should give it to Ahmaud Best.
I think so. This feels like deja vu from last year of us snubbing Megan. She's already comforting Jack Black and Lizzo. They're over on the side. They're fine. But yeah, I think we have to give it to them.
Yeah. So congratulations on Mod Best. Big year for you. And we expect more great things to come. Okay, so let's throw it to another category. How about Best Twist? Now, I mentioned I didn't have a lot of nominees. I have two really good ones, I think. So I'll throw it to you first. Do you want to throw out a twist that worked for you?
Yeah, I think one that like caught me off guard. I don't even know. I think last year, I think had a lot of big twists that left my mouth open. This year, there wasn't a ton of that. And this one, I was just surprised that they went with this. And then, anyways, Monica staying in space in the Marvels. I thought, I honestly didn't see that coming. You know, Marvel in general has a hard time just letting go of characters. Obviously, she's still alive and probably going to be a part of another thing. But at the time, when I saw that in the movie where it's just like, she's gone. And no one knew what to do and no one could look for her at that time. It did shock me.
Yeah, no, well said. That's not one of the two that I had, but it is a big one. It really kind of changes where things are going to go in the future of the MCU for sure. I'm going to throw one out there. It is the reveal at the end of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, where we meet the other Miles Morales, who is Prowler in that universe. This is one that just sent chills up my spine. One of my favorite twists. It's got me super stoked for the next movie.
That's funny. I'll put this as an honorable mention because I like that better for Across the Spider-Verse. My twist was honestly that it was a part two because I didn't watch the trailer or I didn't know anything. So when the movies, I'm like, there's a lot of movie left. And the fact that it happened to be two parts was a huge twist for me.
That is funny because, you know, I think the people that are like deep into the news, and I know you're not, it was something that was pretty well documented. But if you're avoiding that information, I can see where that just blindsides you.
No idea. I was like, there's a lot of movie left, right? Like, are they going to defeat these people really in like 10 minutes? What are we doing here?
Okay, so do you want to throw out another one?
Yeah, I have one more twist, I would say, is I don't know if there's a twist. I guess twist is more like shock. Like, what shocked me, what surprised me is kind of what I'm leaning towards this year. And this is kind of a cameo that we didn't talk about, Kate Bishop at the end of The Marvels, where the twist of a hinting towards Young Avengers. I think we've talked about it for so long, but actually getting confirmation, and I just didn't expect it in this movie specifically, really shocked me at the moment.
Yeah, no. I will say, I think the only reason I didn't consider it to be a twist, which it absolutely is just because we have talked about it so much and it felt like something that was kind of inedible, kind of like the Beast thing. It's like, yeah, this is coming. We just don't really know when. And it does kind of show up in places you don't expect. So, two great twists there for the Marvels. I got one last one from the Bad Batch. I think this is a big one. At the end, Omega has a sister. She meets her sister at the end there. And again, I think that that's just something that wasn't on my bingo card at all. You know, I had been predicting that Omega was going to meet up with Boba Fett, which is technically her brother. So to find out that there's kind of like a third prong to these people is an interesting twist for me.
Yeah, and build out the lore and specifically the mystery around Omega. And I know we've had our theories on what's going over on the Bad Batch, but yeah, big twist.
Okay, so yeah, I'll be honest. There's not one that like I'm dead set on. I'll throw it to you. Is there one that you are gonna ride or die for here?
I think all of them have their things, as we discussed. I think I'm going to give it to the Across the Spider-Verse twin or the double mile, just because it was something that wasn't on my radar. It was a cool, especially the way they edited it in the movie, where it's like you still think it's his home for a bit of it. And then they have that twist with the mother, you know, not recognizing. I thought was well done and created a moment.
Yeah. I'm with you. So congratulations, Miles Morales 2, a.k.a. Prowler. Okay, so I'll let you pick the next one. I got two here. I don't know which one I'm going to go. You want to do moment of the year or best sound clip?
Let's do best sound clip first.
Okay. All right. So at first I was like, I don't know if we have a lot of... I mean, we don't compared to last year, but there are some good ones. So I will go ahead and play a couple. I guess you don't have a lot of memory of a lot of them, so... You don't have like a standout right now.
No, I feel like it will refresh my memory once I hear them. I feel like I'm blending them with last year's a lot. There's a lot that I feel like we used through this year. Like No is a classic that is always able to come back up.
Yes. And ironically, I can't find that one right now.
Oh, no.
let's go to the 2023 ones. I'll go in order of the way that I have them. We started out with two really good ones from The Mandalorian. I'll play these.
Bad baby. No, it's crazy.
Yeah. The and Zelens coming in and interacting with Grogu. Love that. Another Grogu one, when he gets his mech... IG mech pod, and he's able to say this.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's another top one.
Yeah. I don't even know what this one is. Hold on. Let's see what this next one is.
Goodness, they let anyone in these days.
What is that from?
Is it from Visions? Is it this is such an obscure, if I'm right, it's the racing where it was like,
yes, yes. That's it. You nailed it. Good job. So there was that one. Let's see. What the heck is this one?
It was all just a misunderstanding.
I don't
know what that's from.
It's probably, if we don't remember it, it's probably Visions, just because they were one-off episodes.
Let me play that one more time.
It was all just a misunderstanding.
Oh. I know what this is. It's from the Jedi Survivor game. I forget the character's name. He looks like a little frog.
I'm going to give myself the pass. I haven't played that game.
Yeah, you win that one. All right. So now I had a lot of fun in Secret Invasion with some of the Samuel L. Jackson sound clips. So let me play some of those.
Everybody gets one. Nobody gets two.
That's a good one.
That's a top contender for me right now. That's a pretty good one. Because it's usable. I think the thing with sound clips that we discovered last year was how useful it is for the podcast, as well as how it was impacting the show in general. But that's a good one.
Here's another one.
You earned all this smoke, brother.
Yes, yeah, heated moment between Rhodey and
you pick like two of the only moments from Secret Invasion that are good. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, here's another one.
You earned all this smoke, brother.
Oh wait, that was the same one. Sorry, this one.
Enough of this bull.
That's Samuel Jackson just beating somebody. I can't remember who it was, but
classic.
Enough of this bull. All right. Here's one from Ahsoka that didn't get a lot of play, but
on the object, no. However, I have several thoughts on everything else going on.
And last one, this I've saved this one for last because honestly, I think this is the winner. This is one of my I played this probably the most out of all of them, and I like to play it in very erotic moments.
Daddy, 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 when are we filming, daddy? Come on, daddy.
It is one of your favorites. It's definitely not mine, but I do think it does get a lot of play.
Yeah. That is Amelia Clark in an interview, not even in the show. I don't know what she's talking about there, but do you have a favorite of the bunch?
I think mine would have to be like everyone gets the Samuel L. Jackson. Everyone gets one. whatever, you know.
Everybody gets one. Nobody gets two.
Tommy, I can't let go of Daddy. What do we do here? Should we flip a coin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, maybe in the future we could guess a third guess tiebreaker, but right now.
Oh.
Who do you have a coin?
Physical money in it anymore.
I have a dice. We could roll a D&D okay. dice.
Yeah.
One to 10, it is Daddy.
Okay.
10 to 20, it is only one, but not two.
Okay. And I can't see the dice, so he could lie.
Okay. The dice says it's Daddy, baby. Eight. Let's we got go. An eight on the board.
Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. When are we filming, Daddy? Come on, Daddy.
It's a sound clip that just instantly makes me start blushing, though. I'm like, oh, no. What are we doing here?
It's like so scandalous for no reason. Yeah. Okay. Congratulations, Amelia Clark. Come get your award. Okay. So the next one here is moment of the year. This is a fun one. This is a moment that just stood out above anything else from all of the TV shows and movies that we covered. I'm going to go first on this one. I think one of my favorite moments from Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is the hallway fight scene where everybody is just going ham. I forget what song is playing, but just such a fun scene there.
That is good. That is good. I have a lot. I'm going to probably, I'll do my main ones and then we'll pile through. But I think one of my moments was Thrawn's return. I mean, I'm a big Rebels guy. That the music, the way they did it, that ending cliffhanger of him with all the zombie clone troopers behind him or stormtroopers was very menacing. And it's hard for me not to to love my boy Thrawn.
I can't push back on that at all. And I will piggyback on your Ahsoka moment with another one. And it is the moment that Ezra and Sabine reconnect. Just such a touching moment and something that we were so excited for and was building up for the whole season. We kind of knew something like this was going to come and it finally did. And I thought it played great.
Yep. That was on my list as well. I'm going to go over to another universe, go over to Marvel, and I'm going to pick, Loki becoming the God of Stories. Just a very epic ending, great cap to Tom Hiddleston as Loki, him grabbing the different timelines and creating this tree, epic moment of the season.
I think I told you I watched that finale when I like woke up at like 5 a.m. I was like half asleep and it felt like a fever dream and I didn't quite know what was going on the entire time. And that was one moment, like, I don't know if I got to appreciate it as much in the moment, but it was not on my list, but that is a great one. I'll go to another one from a Marvel show. This is when Gaia becomes the Super Skrull. I thought this is a really fun fight scene between her and Gravik. I know some people have some issues with the CGI in there. You know, the Drax arm looks a little weird. I think that's kind of been memeified, but I thought it was a really cool moment, and seeing like Amelia Clark become one of the most strongest people in the Marvel universe in a matter of one fight scene was pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like it's underrated for sure. All right, I have Goose giving birth to thousands of kittens that then decided to eat humans, with I believe a song from Cats the musical was playing in the background as these humans get eaten so that they can escape the space station. I feel like I'm gonna remember this moment for a while.
Yeah. For all the faults of the Marvels, there are some really ridiculous moments. I will go to another one when we get to the singing planet. You know, there is a lot of gold to be mined there as well.
Great. Some other honorable mentions that I have. Anakin Force Ghost, the whole Ahsoka memory thing with them. I thought that was just a really cool going back. We see, you know, we talked about Rex being there and some of the other moments was fun. I have also Grogu getting adopted. That felt like a long time coming and seeing that moment and potentially a pin on Mandalorian. I don't know if it's confirmed if there's more or not. But it was nice to finally see that, like him, he's part of him. He's a djinn now. Djinn.
Yeah.
Jargon. I don't know.
Okay. I had one more. It was Tech's death in The Bad Batch. Sad one for sure, but a moment nonetheless. Tommy,
Sorry, one more. It's kind of like your hallway Guardians moment. Mine was just the actual end of their moment where they're singing and dancing to Dog Days Are Over at the end of Guardians.
Now, Tommy, I think we just laid out a lot of great moments. I don't know that one, like, I'm sold on anything 100%. Do you have one that you want to triumph here?
Yeah, I think there's a couple that I would... I think there are a lot of fun moments. I think, for me, Ezra and Sabine reuniting, it was a long time coming. And felt, for people that were fans of Rebels, it felt like a big moment. I don't know if it hit the way people wanted it to, but it was a big moment. The kittens was pretty funny. I'm just eating. Everyone was so scared. I don't know. What do you feel like? I feel like this is one, and maybe we come back to it. Maybe we do the other awards and we come back and we reward someone that maybe, you know.
I'll put my stamp on one because I think we actually had no overlap besides the Ezra and Sabine moment. Yeah. That was the one that we both had on our list. And I think it's a great one. I'm happy to give it to them if you are.
I am too. You're right. It's the only one that we both put down. So I think it's gotta come up to the stage, Ezra. Sabine sadly can't be here. She's stuck in another universe right now, unfortunately. But they're working on it. So
yeah, we'll rocket ship that award straight over to you.
We'll get a whale to swallow it. And
yeah. Okay, so congratulations to Sabim and Ezra. Let's go to, let's see, what's next? Do you want to, let's go to the Trash Compactor Award. This is the property from all the TV shows and movies that we saw this year that we liked the least. I got to throw it to you. What do you think?
You're not gonna love this.
I know what you're gonna say, and I'll accept it actually, but go ahead.
It's Secret Invasions for me. I know we are night and day on this show. And I think part of it is I had such high expectations. I love the idea of Secret Invasions, the idea of people being not who they're supposed to be, the idea of paranoia. I think there's a lot the show could have done. For me, it just didn't hit the mark of the potential. And so for that reason, it would be in my personal trash compactor.
So when I'm looking at the TV shows that we talked about this year, while I do like Secret Invasion, I think it's objectively the worst one. I mean, it was a tough year. Even Bad Batch was really good. I thought Bad Batch had a huge step up. You know, obviously Loki, Ahsoka, Star Wars Visions, The Mandalorian. I'm sorry, Secret Invasion. I'm going to disagree with you on this one. If I had to push back a little bit, I might throw in some love for or hate for The Marvels or Quantumania. But still, I had a lot of fun with those movies. So I'm fine to give this to Secret Invasion.
Okay. Yeah, Quantumania was my other option as like for the movies. It felt very like the least movie of them all.
And it says a lot about the year that like I actually like the thing that is the worst thing of the year. So it was a pretty good year. All things considered, I guess. Okay, let's start getting.
Do we want to do the in memoriam, like a nice little break? We discussed this. There was a lot of characters. You know, we're only discussing the characters, not the actors that play them. Even though there were some sad deaths there as well, but for us, there were some big ones. I felt looking at this that should be discussed. A big one for me that really got me to push this to you was Marie Hill. A OG S.H.I.E.L.D. member in it from the beginning, basically, I thought got very unceremoniously died in the Secret Invasion. So she shows up on the screen. Maria Hill, sadly, did meet her demise this year.
Yeah, and, you know, this was the kind of thing that really skyrocketed me to, like, it was in the first episode, and I was like, you know, my complaint for the longest time was that Marvel was afraid to kill characters, and they gave us a big one right off the bat, and I was like, this show is not holding punches, and I, you know, sad to lose her, but I appreciated the show for having the balls to do that, so, you know, the Maria Hill death, definitely a big one. Big one for me, I think the second biggest one, is the death of Tech. That was just such a sad moment. And as somebody that, like, while Maria Hill, she kind of disappeared from our radar for a while. We hadn't really seen her on screen too much. Tech was somebody that we spent like back-to-back years with. And actually, we kind of even predicted that that might happen a little bit between, you know, Tech and Echo. We figured one of them had to go.
They're too similar.
But yeah, that was the big one for me. Honestly, I don't have the whole list in front of me. So if you want to just go through.
Yeah. Moff Gideon. Great, great villain in Mandalorian, did meet his demise. You know, he did have these clones though, so like maybe they could eventually bring him back. Yeah. Morgan from Ahsoka, met her demise. And with that, we also lost, Talos and Gravik from, Secret Invasion. Talos, a big one, you know, we've seen him since Captain Marvel, was in Spider-Man, has been, you know, in a lot of properties. So that was a very sad death. We lost, I don't know why I have him on. Lord Krylor from this is Bill Murray's character in Quantumania. Sad death there. Exolum, he's the guy with the giant light on its head from Quantumania.
I love that you went so deep with these because they're like I wouldn't have even considered putting them on, but they're valid.
Yeah. Aisha, mother from you know, mom from Guardians, MODOK. Classic Darren, and lastly, and certainly not least, the trio of Lila, Teefs, and Floor.
I know this isn't an award, but I think I would go pretty hard for MODOK's death just because of how funny it was. I think it was, you know, it was kind of a big character that we had since Ant-Man, and then, you know, his dying wish was that he could become an Avenger, which was just hilarious.
That was good. I think I needed to retry that movie because I think if I go in expecting it to just be a joke, I may like it more. Yeah, I you know I don't know if we're giving out best death award, but he's probably the least sad. Some of these were very, you know, I feel bad giving it to like Teefs and Floor and Lila because that was just a very sad death.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, good in memoriam there. I think it's time to dive into some bigger awards here.
Yeah,
you want to do? Let's start with Rookie of the Year. I don't know that I have a lot. I've got four nominees for this. I'll throw it to you first though.
Yeah, I'll throw out one. I think this wasn't a year with like a ton of, you know, we've had years where it's like hard competition between the rookies. I'm going to throw Obi from Loki. Love the actor. We've all talked about this. There's nothing he's in that I don't love, but I thought he added a little spark, you know, in a show that felt very much like a continuation of season one. He was a nice addition to the cast. I feel like he blended well with the A-team over there at TVA, and I liked his character a lot.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. It's somebody I didn't have on my list. I probably didn't put him on my list because for me, I guess when I want to award a rookie, I want to be able to look back in like 5 years and be like, remember when they were just such a sweet little rookie? And I don't know that we'll get Obi again. We might. I would like to. But still a good nominee. I'll throw one out from the opposite sides, the Star Wars universe. It's another kind of a duo here, like Jack Black and Lizzo. For me, it's Shin and Baylan, our two new villains in the Ahsoka show. Baylan, wonderful performance there. Shin, I believe, will have a lot of stuff to mine in the future. So I would give it to both of them if I could, but I do have other nominees too.
No, I'm with you on that. Baylan and Shin were both on my list because I do think when we think of rookies, they I think something you touched on is like they're growing their growth. We're putting our stock hoping they'll expand into a beautiful flower. And Shin, someone I'm definitely eyeing, it could potentially be a huge character in the future of Star Wars. I have someone else's. Completely contradicts what I just said about like growing because this character was on our memoriam list, but I didn't have a ton of options. This is more of a Linda Cardellini award because I feel like she was in a couple properties we covered this year, and we loved her and everything we saw. Lila, I'm just gonna give a rookie to Lila. She was great. I maybe cry.
Yeah, no, that is a good one. There were, yeah, a lot of the animals in Guardians of the Galaxy were great options. I'll stick with the Marvel side here. I got two I'll throw out real quick from Guardians of the Galaxy. Adam Warlock, that was a big one for us. And then I mentioned her already before for, I think, Gaia. You know, I don't know where she shows up again, but I think there's a lot to be mined from that character in the future as well. I also put, I don't think this one technically counts. I don't think they're technically a rookie, but a really big, like their biggest year, Cassie Lang. I would put that up there as well. So
yeah, another to throw it out, Sabine in that same way, where it's like, I didn't know if it really counted because we've had Rebels, but it was the first time with the actress. And I really liked bits of what they were doing with Sabine.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Any one that's a number one for you right now?
The one that gets me excited is Shin and Baylan. I really think, and I don't know if we have to decide between them, but like they're the ones that really get me. We talk about it as like it was very easy for, they were like the third listed villains in that show. And they're the ones we were most intrigued by. There was interesting plot points of Baylan and he, him discovering the gods and so, you know, all that stuff is still out there. I think when we think of Rookie of the Year, I think it's got to go. And is there a little boost because poor Baylan, you know, the actor, you know, that's one we were talking about, sadly, tragically, did pass away this year.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because that is my number one as well. Just to recap, I believe in the past, and talking about some of the growth we can kind of look back on this year, I believe the first MVP or Rookie of the Year went to Omega, you know, back here with another year. And then also, I believe last year was Ms. Marvel. And then another great year for her here too. So yeah, I do kind of like to see how they grow and evolve and change and see how these rookies do over the year. And I guess we're giving it to Shin and Baylan, and I'm excited to see what comes next for those characters.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's see. Let's, you want to do villain of the year?
Yeah, there was some good villains this year.
Yes. I will throw out, I feel weird starting with my favorite, but this is, if I'm going to have to pick one, I'm going to say the High Evolutionary. I thought that this was, I said it back then in our podcast, I believe, this is like a top five Marvel villain for me. I thought it was incredibly well acted. He had a tremendous downfall. And it just such, you know, such a unique take on what a villain can be and all the crazy things that he was doing. I really liked the High Evolutionary.
Yeah, and it's so funny from a character that, like, we've had a lot of Marvel where it's, like, epic death to the entire world stuff. His stuff wasn't that, but it was so personal, and it was so just mean. He was just a terrible guy. And so I'm with you. Like, I even just looking at his name on my list, High Evolutionary, makes me upset in the best possible way. He was definitely on my list. I'm going to throw out Admiral Thrawn. You know, he came back this year. I think as villains go, he's a big baddie, and he kind of won. I mean, that's the thing. We're left with him coming back to the main Star Wars universe and leaving some of other people behind that he probably is glad is still on that planet.
Yeah, big wins for Thrawn. I will say, if there's any holdback for me on Thrawn, is like I feel like his best years have yet to come. Like, yes. I feel like we have a lot of stuff that will be coming up for Thrawn. And, you know, he kind of showed up in the back half. He spent a lot of time in rooms, you know, not really interacting with the heroes. But he was great. He accomplished his goals and definitely one to consider.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had Shin and Baylan as well. You know, they were great, but they just won an award. They'll be fine. Moff Gideon is on there for me. He took a big L though, so I don't know. We'll go to my last one on the list, Gravik from Secret Invasion. I think one of the better parts of Secret Invasion. I think that performance was really well done. He was a really scary villain. So those are the ones on my list.
Yeah, some other honorable villains that, you know, King was there this year, guys. We'll mention it. He's there. I don't know if he's our favorite. Miss Minute, honestly, was kind of spooky there for a little bit. Like, Miss Minute's definitely, like, with the scary black and white ghost version of her, I was a little scared.
That is a good one. But are you cool with throwing it to the High Evolutionary here?
I think we have to. He's already come on stage. He's already demanding the award.
He's taking his skin mask off.
Oh no, put it back on.
All right, well said. Okay, I think that takes us to TV show of the year. We have six nominees: The Mandalorian, Star Wars Visions, Secret Invasion, Ahsoka, Loki, and Bad Batch. I'll throw it to you. What's your favorite of this bunch?
It's funny. It's a year where I want to say there was any shows. You know, we had last year, we had, I believe it was, what's it called? It was like Andor. Everyone, we knew Andor is the show of the year. I wouldn't say there's a show that like stood out this year for me. That being said, I really liked I think I'm probably higher than most on Loki. I thought the beginning was a little rough, but towards the end and really telling the story of Loki, the character, as someone who was adamant that we didn't need more Loki in our lives, we could have ended it at Endgame. I appreciate this end to his story, the sacrifice, him finally being, he did something for someone else, for everyone else, and basically saved the entire Marvel Universe. So the show worked for me in that way.
Yeah, and I think this is the interesting thing for me about these Marvel shows where, like, you know, everyone's really down on Secret Invasion, and I'm like, I'm pulling it up a little bit. I'm like, guys, it's okay. And then everyone's like really high on Loki, and I'm kind of pulling that down a little bit. I'm like, guys, it's okay. So I tend to just have very moderate takes on these Marvel shows. I know that I'm biased, and I tend to lean towards Star Wars. If I had to pick one, I think it would go to Ahsoka. I think I had a lot of fun with that show. It was just so great being reunited with these Rebels characters. But if you really feel strongly about Loki, I won't fight you on it.
Well, I was going to give it. I knew you were going to pick Ahsoka, so that's why I went with Loki, because Ahsoka was also on my list. And I think it does come down to these two shows from each property. I think when there were other good shows, but I think the ones people were talking about, Loki, as in because Marvel really needed a win, and it was like, okay, we'll kind of give this a win, and then Ahsoka. But I think when you look at the two, there's Loki's falling apart a little bit more than Ahsoka is. And every week I remember we were pretty excited to watch more Ahsoka. So I think we had to give it to Ahsoka as the show of the year.
I'm with you. And guess what? We're about to move on to movie of the year, and Marvel's going to get a W here because they are uncontested. So
Star Wars phoned it in this year. They said, see you in 2024.
Yeah. So congratulations, Ahsoka. Well, let's move on to the MOTY movie of the year. It is Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Across the Spider-Verse, or The Marvels. I'll go ahead and say which one I'm going to pick. It is close. There's one I really, really like, but there's one that's just, you know, the best for me. Across the Spider-Verse, I had a lot of fun with this. At this point, a Spider-Verse movie is never going to fail me. It's going to be my favorite superhero movie of the year, typically. But do you have any other one that stands out for you?
Yeah, to me, this is another one where Quantumania is not even in the conversation. It's between Guardians of the Galaxy and Across the Spider-Verse. I agree with everything you're saying. I love both movies. I think for me, Guardians of the Galaxy is the end to a series. I thought they did a well job of paying homage, doing things that I would have questioned. Like, I think leaving Gamora kind of this obscure character that just, you know, it would have been easy for them to be like, nope, she's Gamora again. They didn't. Across the Spider-Verse still feels like an incomplete movie to me. You know, we're waiting for the second half. So I feel like that's coming. Like, when the second half comes, that's going to be movie of the year 100%. I think because we're left, it's hard. It's like, with Endgame, right? People always discuss that. Like, how do you really rate those two movies? Because they're part one, part two. So that's my only pushback, is Across the Spider-Verse is an incomplete movie, but a great incomplete movie.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, for me, I'm sitting on one side where I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. You know, there was a lot of stuff that just wasn't wrapped up and left us feeling very on edge. And then for me, Guardians of the Galaxy, really loved it. It didn't deliver on a lot of things that I particularly expected. So two great movies, but also two big downsides to them. But with that being said, I hear the argument that the third Spider-Verse movie is taken at that year. I'm happy to give it to Guardians 3.
Yeah. They're like, you know, we'll give them a little like IOU one. Like, yeah, your time's coming Across the Spider-Verse.
All right. So congratulations to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Let's move on to the LVP award. This is a character, you know, I guess it's somebody that, you know, didn't necessarily do great in universe, but also a character that we just didn't particularly like. I have two one from Star Wars and one from Marvel, both stand out. I was very vocal about how much I didn't like them on the podcast. I'm curious if you can peg who they are. But I'll throw it to you first. Do you have a nominee for LVP?
Yeah, I have a couple. I think this one didn't work for me. MODOK, I gotta give it to Darren. I think you can make a really epic MODOK character. I didn't think this was the right choice, in my personal opinion. And so for me, after having a rise up, I thought MODOK was coming up. We got the animated show everyone loved and then we also had him in the video games and he was scary. I just felt like this was a step back to take MODOK serious again.
Yeah, it was definitely a different take. I will say for me, it was a different take on MODOK. I'm not somebody that I knew who MODOK was. I didn't watch that show. And so I was aware of the character. But for me, he came into this as a comedic presence. He was just kind of a fool, which I realize if you're a big fan, if you have a lot of reverence for that character, it can make you feel the type of way. But for me, I was like, this is kind of a funny character. So it wasn't on my list, but I will go to another. I feel like you might have some pushback on both of mine, which is fair. I'm going to give it to Sylvie. I hated Sylvie and Loki. This was the weakest part of Loki for me. I thought she complained most of the time. She didn't want any part of things. And when she was around, she was trying to shut everything down and just go back to McDonald's. And honestly, she can stay there.
Less push out of that than you think. I like Sylvie. I like the character, but I do feel like they didn't need her in this season. It really felt like we were keeping her around for the ending to make sense. And I loved her speech at the end at the bar with Loki. I thought that was great. It doesn't make everything else good with her. And she was very much a character where it's like, it felt like we were pulling her along. Like, she didn't want to be there. No one wanted her there. And yet they kept bringing her along. So I don't hate Sylvie being on the list.
Okay. Well, who do you have next?
I have... And this is another one. Maybe comedy is just Adam Warlock. Again, another one where Warlock for me is such a, and again, it is just like with you or your Star Wars bias, my Marvel bias. I love Warlock as a character. It's a very complex storyline. There's way more that they didn't dive into with Warlock and all of his other stuff going on. And I felt like the character very much came off very jokey, very it felt like Gunn only put him in there because he promised Warlock was going to be in one of his three Guardians movie and the story didn't really need him, but they were like, but I said, I got to have him in. So that's kind of how it felt for me.
Again, a character I don't have any reverence for, but I will say he was a bumbling idiot and a baby. I can understand where this is a character that was built up. I believe it was the post-credit scene of the first movie that we got teased for Adam Warlock. Didn't get him in the second one. So at this point, really built up. People are really excited to see him. In the trailers, he looked really cool. I was like, okay, this looks the man version of Captain Marvel, right? I felt like this was our next big strong character, and he was kind of an idiot. So I get it. I will go to the Star Wars side. Another character that I complained about a lot during The Mandalorian. Our favorite cultist, the Armorer. Well, here's the thing. And I actually felt like, okay, they're kind of building her up because she's super, she's got these extreme ways and she's kind of sucking Mando in and he's kind of just doing whatever she says. She's kind of a bully in a way. And I'm like, okay, she's annoying, but at least they're building her up to be a villain. I thought that was the turn. And we didn't even get that from her. She was just annoying for the sake of being annoying, in my opinion. So.
Listen. I don't want to say too much ill will because, as everyone knows, this podcast is a pro cult podcast.
We only like one cult, and that's the Stark Warriors.
Yeah, that's true. But I do see merit in what you're saying. She was built up to be. It felt like something was coming. It felt like there was some twist, or maybe it was just how mysterious she acted, and it wasn't. There was nothing. We didn't even get much drama with her, and the fact that she exiled. Mando, but I can see that. Star Wars, I don't personally have any Star Wars on my list because I do think Star Wars was a very strong year for them. So I think if Armor is the least of that, yeah, I can take that.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any others? I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, quick honorable mention, I have Kang, and that's mostly because of real life stuff. So
that would be epic to just give it to Jonathan Majors.
And then Darben, who you probably don't even know the name of because it's the villain in the Marvels. Marvels has is a movie we discussed as we really liked it, but in the way that like you just can't think about the plot of it all. And a big weak spot, I think, for both of us was the villain. It felt like they took cookie cutter pieces that could be interesting, like the idea that she felt betrayed, all that stuff could be interesting, but I feel like they just didn't let it cook long enough in the oven.
You know what? I really like that choice. And it makes me think back on the other ones that we've talked about, you know, Sylvie, MODOK, the armor, they had undesirable qualities, but they had qualities. I don't think Darben had it brought anything at all. Like I barely know anything about the character. And I didn't find that villain particularly daunting in any way. And definitely not relatable, you know, kind of a nothing burger of a character.
Had a real bad year too. I mean, she couldn't even, and also I think it was the not coming around and then you lost the battle anyways. There was no reward for her turning on Captain Marvel there at the end too. Like some of the not even the quality, like, yeah, she didn't have a lot of qualities, but also the choices she made just didn't really make sense for the character they were setting up. It's definitely not a diss to the actress. I thought she did really well with what she was working with. I think they just didn't write you well.
Yeah. Tommy, ironically, I think MODOK and Darben, the two that you mentioned, I like those better than mine. I think I have some personal vendettas against these two women on my list, but I'm happy to give it to MODOK or Darben. I'll give a slight push for Darben, but I'll let you decide this one.
You know, we were about to announce the awards. It was going to go to Darben, but then I look up and MODOK's naked butt is in front of me. And for those reasons, it's going to MODOK.
I can accept this. This is fair. This is fair. The butt does not help the case.
He thought it would help. He thought it was all he needed, but it actually did the opposite. It did not work for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go to our final award here. This is our biggest award. It is the MVP award. I probably have the most nominees for this. Do you have a lot too? Do you want to do like a quick back and forth?
Yeah. My MVP, Loki. I think great ending, like I've said multiple times on a lot of this. It really felt like the farewell to a character that's been existing again since the beginning. We've got Tom Hiddleston for a while, so Loki's up there for me.
Loki's a great one on my list as well. I'll throw out Rocket Raccoon. Big year for Rocket Raccoon.
Big year.
I had a lot of fun with that character this year. So,
Ahsoka. You know, we get a big year from Ahsoka. I thought she did well. You know, taking a character that wasn't an animated character and now doing it in a live action is a hard job. And I thought that, so I can't wait to see more of her.
Yeah. Okay, I'll throw out, you know, in the past, a lot of times a big topic of the conversation for MVP is like, this person was in multiple properties. You know, I think we ended up giving it to Yelena the first year just because she was showing up all over the place. For me, there's a character that did show up a lot. Maybe you didn't like all the properties. Nick Fury, you know, did a great job, a great serious role in Secret Invasion, and then came back for a very comedic role in the Marvels, too. So he is on my list.
Yeah. Our last year Rookie of the Year, I have Ms. Marvel, because the big thing you talk about the Marvels, I thought Ms. Marvel knew who she is. The one character out of the Marvel characters right now that knows who she is. They know how to write her. It's well done every time she shows up. I enjoy the actress so much. Can't wait to see the TV show hopefully come back. I'm putting her up there as an MVP of the year. And she came off her rookie year and just kept accelerating.
Yeah. I feel like we have kind of like Thrawn. I think we have a lot of gold to mine still with Ms. Marvel. Still a great consideration. I put Miles Morales on there just because he led one of my favorite movies of the year and always a star. I think he also ended on an L, though, so that's something to consider.
Yeah. I have Bo-Katan, because if you go back to Mandalorian, Season 3 was really her show. It was less about Mando, but it was more about her getting her, putting a button on her, losing her civilization once again, getting the Darksaber, and ruling the Mandalorians once more. I think this was a good year for Bo.
We had a lot of overlap. I believe you know, you said Loki, you said Bo-Katan. These were people that were on my list as well. Bo-Katan is like the antithesis of the armor for me. I felt like she had all the good takes along the way. She was making the right decisions. She was a lot of fun. So big year for Bo-Katan. That is the end of my MVP list, though.
Yeah, only other one I had was Maria Hill, and this was before we did the In Memoriam, because I'm like, I felt like she just needed a call out. But, you know, she didn't do much. She had kind of a bad year for her, but we're still remembering you fondly. You could have been a big character. They should have done more with you.
Okay, so I feel like we had a lot of good ones here. Let me go through, and maybe we can, like, cut it down at least. So yeah. We got Rocket, Miss Marvel, Miles Morales, Ahsoka, Loki, Bo-Katan. I think that's six strong nominees right there. Can you knock one off the list? Maybe two even.
I'll knock Miss Marvel. I think, like you said, she has more years coming. I think it just was impressive that she comes back to back in two pretty solid performances. I'm excited for a young Avengers. They're going to knock it out of the park. And that chemistry between her and Kate Bishop just confirmed it to me that this will be a show we'll be talking about coming up.
For sure. I'm going to take Miles Morales off the list. Again, somebody I could see winning maybe in the future. And again, lost, kind of ended on an L. Which leaves us with Rocket, Ahsoka, Loki, and Bo-Katan.
That's tough. A good list. That's a good list.
Can you pick one? You pick one, I'll pick one, and then we'll debate the two.
Yeah, I'm also trying to look at I'm trying to remember other awards to see like who's like got which shows or TVs have gotten snubbed to.
Yeah, I think we've given a lot of we've given a lot of love to Ahsoka, and she was great in that show. But also, you know, there were plenty of other great characters in that show. It's hard to say that it was even her show because yeah. Sabine was great, Ezra was great. I'm okay with taking Ahsoka off the list here.
I'm between, and that's kind of where I was feeling too. I'm between Loki. Rocket Raccoon's one that you threw out that I wasn't thinking that is really popping off as like it was his, that movie was his year. Bo is really hard too for me, because again, like I laid out, this is tough. Those three are solid threes.
This is tough. This is the toughest award. We haven't been so split on three yet, maybe two. Okay. How about this? Let's both eliminate one out of the three and we'll be left with one more.
Okay.
Do you want to go first? Or you want me to?
So tough.
I know who I'm coming for.
I know who you're coming for.
You're nervous.
It's probably the one I'm highest on.
Oh no.
But I'm high on all of them. I'm going to take out Bo because I do think there's more coming with her. And I hope this isn't the end. It's tough because I think there is merit to give it to her, but I think I have to take her out.
And you leave me with a tough decision here. And it is tough because we're going to get more Rocket. I don't know that we're going to get more Loki. It's kind of a send-off, but I still appreciate Rocket's story more. Can we dice this?
Yeah, I think we have to.
I think we have to dice.
Were you going to eliminate Bo too?
I was going to eliminate Loki if gun in my head, if I had to, just because I don't love the show as much as most people, but, yeah. I totally see the merit and it was a great ending for him.
I think my thought was, I don't think we gave Loki one yet. So it's also I didn't want to do another Black Panther two where it gets completely snubbed. So, okay. 1 to 10 will be Rocket. I have to make sure I do the math right. 1 to 10 and then 11. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. That's 10 each.
Yeah. Okay. With an 18, I think that goes to Loki.
Congratulations. High key on the Loki. Good job there, buddy.
You know, that's kind of like a lifetime achievement award for Loki. I think this wasn't maybe his strongest year, but it was a great ending to his career as a Marvel villain, Marvel hero at times, everything all above. It is tough though. I'm going Bo's there. Right. This is a tough one.
It's tough, but I'm happy to give it to Loki. I mean, he was great throughout the show. I thought he was doing great things. He was whip smart, and you know, we even got to see a little bit of villainy coming out of him. It was a little bit of everything from Loki. So it's a good win. Good MVP here.
And just the ending. I mean, again, that like moment of, I know. It's just like him grabbing in the sacrifice, the idea of like he is now stuck watching everyone else live their lives and not being with his friends as he has now made this ultimate decision.
Yep. All righty. That is all of our awards. Should I do a recap here?
Yeah.
All right. So from top to bottom, MVP goes to Loki, LVP to MODOK, Rookie of the Year goes to Shin and Balin, Villain of the Year goes to High Evolutionary, Cameo of the Year, Ahmad Best. I forget the character's name, but yeah. Him. Yeah. Movie of the Year, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Show of the Year, Ahsoka, Moment of the Year, Sabine and Ezra reunite, Twist of the Year was the Miles Morales reveal, Best Sound Clip is Daddy, Daddy, When Are We Filming, Daddy, and the Trash Compactor Award goes to Secret Invasion. I feel good about all this.
I feel like it's a pretty solid list. I love when we get, when it's spread out a little bit. You know, we get a little taste of everything. There's one more award. It is the Best Co-host Award, Michael, because this year you did so much for the podcast, as you do every year behind the curtain. Michael take care of so much of the behind the scenes. And so I just want to give my appreciation on the podcast for how much you do. I know me and a lot of the other podcasters we talk to feel the same way, that you are a foundation in the nerdom podcast world.
Well, let me take that award and bring out my buzzsaw and cut it in half, because I'm giving the other half to you. You've been great as well, Tommy.
Thank you, Michael.
But I'm very excited to get into our next segment, which is our predictions for 20. Do you want to revisit our last year's predictions or talk about our new ones first?
I think I liked how we did it last year, where it was like we do our new predictions and we go back and go through the timeline.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw it to you first for a new prediction then. You did three, right?
Yes. I have a couple, but I'm going to pick three.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
I'm going to make a bold. I don't know why I've decided this. I looked at a list and I decided I know nothing about this property, so I'm definitely going to lose this prediction. Skeleton Crew is going to be the talk of the year. Best. It's going to be the new Andor. People are going to love Skeleton Crew. It's going to be universally loved.
Wow. I mean, I don't know a lot about it either, to be fair. Nope. From what I do know, though, you know, especially compared to another, and this will actually kind of, well, yeah, okay. It's going to tie into my prediction, another Star Wars show. I think Skeleton Crew is going to be great. I think the issue is there's another great one coming up in The Acolyte, which is our first live-action dive into the High Republic era. And my prediction is, I think we're going to get a Yoda cameo in The Acolyte. Yoda is around in the High Republic, so it seems naturally that is something that could happen. So I will that will be my prediction.
I like that. No, I that's another show I think is going to be good. I think Skeleton Crew. I'm intrigued by this whole, like, I've read something about like kids surviving, and it seems so out of everything Star Wars. If I want to see a show that's away from the politics and everything, maybe, you know, try things from a fresh light, but I'm excited for both properties, and I think Yoda showing up in Acolyte is a good guess.
Cool. What do you got next?
I think that next year we will officially get an announcement that Tom Holland has signed on for another Spider-Man movie, and Spider-Man 4 will be announced next year.
All right. I love that theory. You know, it is tricky with the Spider-Man these days and the Sony universe and all that, but I would love that. This isn't an official prediction, but I'm going to throw it out there. Can we get a freaking Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie? You know, if we don't get the Tom Holland, you know, give us something else in the Sony universe at least.
That would be very fun. I would love to see him back. To piggyback on my own Spider-Man thing, I couldn't really call it a prediction for next year because I don't think the movie would come out next year. I think we're going to see Miles Morales in Spider-Man 4. I think it's going to be the passing of the torch. I think we're going to finally get a live-action Miles Morales.
I mean, that could be an announcement that we get where it's like, hey, Spider-Man 4 is coming with this actor and Tom Holland will be back too. So
yeah.
All right. I'll go to a Marvel prediction here. And this is a big one. You know, this, as we mentioned, we're not mad at the MCU. We're just disappointed. I have a feeling this time next year, we're going to say Marvel's back, baby. 2024 will restore the MCU to its former glory with movies. Well, a movie, Deadpool 3. I think Echo is going to be great. If there's any hesitation, I'm not sure about the Agatha show, but I think that between those two and possibly Agatha, I think it's going to be a big year for the MCU, and we're going to come in maybe higher on the MCU than we are Star Wars next year.
Yeah, it's tough. Both, I think, are coming out with, because I think Star Wars, if they can nail it with both Acolyte and Skeleton Crew, I think it's going to be tough. But I think Marvel, I think you have all, if you're a Marvel fan, you're putting all on Deadpool 3. I think that's got to be, it's got to come out swinging. And I think it will. I think Deadpool 3 is going to be a huge movie. I think you're going to see a lot of cameos. You're going to see a lot of the things people love from that movie. So I don't think that's a hot take. Yeah.
And also, I think it's a bit of a step back, which I think will be a good thing. We had three Marvel movies this year. We're going to have one next year, as far as I'm aware. So that'll be interesting. Do you have one more prediction, right?
Yeah, and this one I don't feel confident on. But I think we, in one of the, because of the lineup of Marvel properties, I don't know if it will happen. But I think we will get, we will know officially the Avengers. Maybe like in a Thunderbolt, we will get a lineup of some sort of Avengers team. If that's Young Avengers, if it is the mainstream Avengers, whatever it is, we will know who the members are.
Ooh, I like that. Because we haven't had that kind of clarification. As far as we know, there really are no Avengers right now. So
yeah,
I would love to see that happen. I will go to my last one, which is another Star Wars one. We should be getting Bad Batch Season 3. And this is one that I've been talking about through Season 1. Through Season 2, and I haven't made an official prediction yet, but I'm finally putting my stake in the ground. Omega will come face to face with Boba Fett.
It's gotta come. This is the year. If it's going to happen, I don't know how many more seasons Bad Batch has. Maybe not even is it announced yet that they have the third.
The third is coming, but I don't know if it's the final one. Yeah,
so I could see it. I don't hate it.
Alrighty, so those are our predictions. Okay, Tommy, this is my favorite part. I like to look back and laugh at our predictions from last year and see if they came true. I have them all written down here. We will go through them one by one. Do you want to start with yours or mine?
Let's start with yours and we'll alternate each one.
Okay.
I remember I listened briefly to our podcast. You should go back. It's very fun to listen to. The Star Wars are our podcast, even the OG first one. It's very fun to see how naive we were, how we thought the future would be. And I think this year was some very funny predictions of what we thought could happen.
Yeah. Every year there's something that it's like, this is it's almost not even valid, or like, it's too confusing to even the things that change throughout one year. It's kind of crazy. I will start with my first one, which was Tommy will love the Bad Batch Season 2. And Tommy, I've got a question for you. Did you love it?
I don't even think I finished it, Michael. That was the one I was talking about at the top. I think I remember you started covering it without me. All transparency to be above the curtain. It was very hard for me to come and podcast about Bad Batch because I just wasn't loving the show. I don't know what it is. I think I need to retry it. I think I need to retry it now, not on a binge, but it was around the episode where it was like a spinoff racing, maybe. Was there something with like them doing a race? That lost me. That's when I started to lose interest in Bad Batch Season 2. But I heard it got really good, and I know most of what happened, obviously with the tech, sadly, death and stuff. But I think I would play this fair, and I think I had to say I don't think I loved it, Michael.
I'll put an L on that one. That is fair. I will say the second half is really good. And a lot of these Star Wars animated shows are like this, where they kind of meander at the beginning and then kind of find the plot towards the end. And I thought it ended really well, so.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, I don't think it was Bad Batch. I also was very busy in my life, so it was not just because of Bad Batch that I was struggling, but,
Yeah. Okay, well, an L for me goes to an L for you on your first prediction. You said Roth and Trace are going to return. We unfortunately did not see your two favorite characters.
Good. it was closer. I remember there was a couple of things that we were like, maybe they'll be back.
Yeah,
I'm mad because I think that's the one I debated doing Jar Jar, and look at that. I would have been at least in the market.
Yep, yep. Okay, so I'm gonna go back to one of mine, which I would consider to be a W. I said Kang or a Kang variant will die at least twice.
Yeah,
I believe Kang died exactly twice. So I really love that. So. I feel like every year I'm just L. So I'm going to cherish this one.
Yeah. I have a lot of maybes usually. This is why this year I tried to go confident and like, I'm just going to make choices.
Yeah. And I'm interested to hear, cause this was an interesting prediction from you. I'm interested to hear you tell me if you think this is right or wrong. You said that Ant-Man will not live up to the hype. It's not going to tell us much, and Loki will provide more information on the greater MCU.
So this is one that I listened back, and I'm glad I did, because there was a lot of discussion about this. You really wanted me to hammer it home and definitely say, you gave me the option. You said, I want you to say Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania is going to be the worst movie, Marvel movie. And I said, I don't want to see that. I backed out of that. I backed out of the winning category. I said, I don't want to say that. I want to say it's going to tell us less than Loki was my counter offer. I don't think it did. I don't think either really gave us information about the future of Marvel. And so I think it's a loss for me. I think I could have had the win if I would have just took your agreement and said that it's the worst movie, because it was the worst movie. But I don't think to what I said, which is it will give us less information than Loki on the future, I think that's an L.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, to be fair, I think both did have some element of hinting towards bigger things, especially involving Kang. But guess what? Kang's not around anymore. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I believe that's going to be an L, Tommy.
Yeah. And I was listening. I'm like, Tommy, just agree. Just say yes. Just say yes. It's the worst movie.
Okay, well, this is a funny one for my last one. It's weird to think back a year ago that we thought that there would be an Ironheart TV show coming out this year. I said that Ironheart is gonna suck. I'm gonna give that an L. We didn't, because we don't know.
I mean, because it didn't premiere, it kind of did suck.
Yeah, I mean, they keep pushing it back. So, what does that tell you? It's an L for this year, but 1 year when that show finally comes out, it might suck and we can turn that L into a W.
Be the moment.
Okay. Okay. So your last one, I've got some issues with personally, but I know it's not your fault. I'll give you this. So your prediction was Ahsoka will feature a live action Rebels cast. The whole crew will be there. Tommy, I'm going to give you the star for that. I will say, though, and I tried not to spoil you on the pod. I was listening to this. I was taking myself back in that moment because you were not aware. You avoided all the information on the show.
Yeah,
it was pretty well documented that the Rebels crew was going to be in the show.
And I think we discussed that at the time, I think we talked about that. But yeah, I did not know. I mean, I had my assumptions because, again, it's an Ahsoka show. And I think I knew Sabine at the time. So it was kind of I wasn't sure.
I mean, it's still a win in my book. And also, like, it's not like you were trying to cheat. So it's not that. No. I think you would either.
I truly, even at the time, I truly didn't think. And this is where I would kind of give me the L. It's like Zeb showed up, but not in Ahsoka. So I wouldn't be opposed to getting the L because I said the whole crew, and Zeb was in Mando, but he was not in Ahsoka.
You know, but for me, it's still like 90% right, yeah. And we still saw him. I'll give it to you. I mean, I think I especially want to give it to you because we can both walk away with one W.
Okay, good. because it's like I thought we would get a lot of the Rebels. I didn't think we would get Zeb at all. And when I made that prediction, I didn't think we would get Zeb. I didn't think we'd get baby, their child. Like, there's a lot that I included in the Rebels crew. Chopper, I thought we would get. Like, going in, I felt good about Chopper and Hera, just because they were connected to the world. But yeah, it was they showed up. They were there.
They did it. Okay, Tommy, that is all of the stuff on my agenda here. Anything else before we start to close out?
No, I'm excited for our predictions. I think they're more hopes than predictions this year. I think we'll see. It's hard because it's like, I think Marvel's, specifically in the Marvel world, they're got to reevaluate some things. Star Wars, I think, did their reevaluation, and now they have a plan going forward. It seems like they have a whole, they feel like they have their end game coming. They know where the end goal is. They know it's the Dave Filoni movie. And so I think it's now setting up the chess pieces for the big epic Star Wars moment.
Yeah, so it should be an interesting year coming up. And Tommy, just thanks again for an awesome year. This was so much fun. Star Wars is alive and well. We got a lot of cool things coming still. So I'm looking forward to 2024.
Yeah, we got some new content. There's got to be a new show coming out soon. We got What If that we might try to cover. And what's the new show? What's the first show coming out in January?
And then on the 9th, we get the entire season of Echo.
Oh, just like, all right, here
I think
go.
It's only six episodes though, so I
mean, okay,
yeah,
you're excited for Echo.
The trailer's very cool.
I didn't even know there was a trailer.
There's a trailer and it's cool.
Okay, I won't watch
it. It's TVMA. It's got a different vibe. I don't want to spoil you on the trailer, but it's definitely darker.
Do we do a cameo? Do we know people? Is Daredevil coming? I feel like Daredevil's got
to
be in it.
Do you want me to answer that?
If it's confirmed 100%, yes. If it's like not even just a cameo, if it's like they're in the cast, and yes.
He's in the trailer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's a few characters in the trailer that you might suspect to show up that they're already confirmed. So I don't know. I don't suspect any really big cameos outside of that. There's still people I'm really excited for. But as far as like cameo, I don't know if it's this show.
I would be excited to see all the Defenders. That would be a fun, like, pay respect to the Netflix series. Give them a nice little like spot. You know, I think we even talked about this at the time, like, except for one casting, which we all know which character that is. All the other casting of the Defenders were great. Love Jessica Jones, love Luke Cage, love Daredevil. That's it. That's the crew. That's all of them.
What about Punisher?
Punisher was great too.
Yeah, yeah. Not the other one. But we still have the Daredevil series as well coming. I think that's coming in 2025. So there's still a lot, like, just, you know, there will be some Daredevil presence in Echo, but there's still way more of that content to come. So
do we think, you know, this is now, we're just, now we don't have predictions, these are just random thoughts. Do we think we get more Fantastic Four news in the new year?
Are you even caught up with the news that has been out?
I think there's been some casting, right? I know, like, Ethers, there's like some casting, right?
Pedro Pascal is playing Mr.
It's official, because I heard there was rumors, and it was like, he was able to get the, I don't love that. Just to be on the record, I don't love that.
Well, here's my argument for this. You know, Pedro Pascal was once cast as Joel, and guess what? A lot of people said, I don't love that. And he killed it. So at this point, I don't bet against Pedro Pascal.
It feels very much like the Chris Pratt moment of, like, where it's like he's getting cast just because Pedro's hot, and not because he'd be a good character, but it's because I love Pedro. I think he's I loved him in The Last of Us. Is he my Reed Richards? I don't know. We'll see. I would love to be wrong.
And I can't wait for my 2025 prediction saying that Tommy is going to love Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic. So
I'm surprised you didn't throw out Tommy will love Bad Batch season 3.
Yeah. Just keep doing that every year. We're going to hit it one day. Okay, Tommy. This is a great podcast. Great to get back with you and excited to start making some more content in the new year. I like to remind everybody to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every week. I think we're finally going to be back in the momentum of making some content. I definitely want to talk about What If. We got Echo coming up. So if you subscribe, you'll get all that content straight to you. Follow us on Instagram at Stark Wars Pod. And we also have a Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.